Welcome to another episode of the Business Storytelling Podcast, where Christoph Trapp shares tips and tricks around marketing and is joined by experts from around the globe. Don't forget to check out his new book, Content Performance Culture, available worldwide on Amazon and on AuthenticStorytelling.net. Enjoy this episode.
Hey, business storytellers, it's Christoph Trapp, your host and author of Content Performance Culture. Thanks for joining me. Another live stream, the first one that we're doing today with a guest. So I'm super excited. Amin Bentahar will join us in a few minutes to talk about Snapchat marketing and specifically Snapchat ads. Personally, I don't know much about Snapchat at all. So as you know, I'm good finding the right experts as opposed to just making it up. Let's see. I'm going to switch over here, get Amin on the screen. I am using, as I mentioned before, Switcher Studio. If you want to check that out, Trap10 gets you 10% off if you're using it, if you're signing up in the next little while here. Takes me a little bit of getting used to on using it, but one moment, we will get there, I hope. Preview. Amin, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for joining. First time we're live recording the Business Storytelling Podcast. Of course, it will also go on all the podcast channels in a few days. So tell us about yourself, your company, and let's dive into Snapchat.
Sure, Amin, for allowing me to be one of your first guests in this life experience. I really appreciate that. As you mentioned, my name is Amin. I'm the Chief Digital and Operating Officer at Advanix Digital. We are a digital marketing consulting and digital agency based in Dallas, Texas. We work with clients from startup to Fortune 500. We specialize in digital marketing services, so anything from SEO all the way to paid social. So in a nutshell, that's what we do. And we have a lot of experience advertising in different social media platforms. For example, we were one of the first agencies to have the opportunity to advertise on TikTok in Canada. So we're always trying to be, you know, first movers and test out platforms before they become as big as they are.
Fantastic. Let's talk about Snapchat. One second. When you do this live stream, you really appreciate your producers who used to do it behind the scenes instead of me pushing all the buttons. So Snapchat, what should brands do? I really don't know anything about it. I tried to hop into Snapchat down the road and kind of gave up, I guess we'll put it that way. But you're saying people should really use Snapchat brands, right? And how should they start?
So sure. So for those of you who don't know Snapchat, so it's a multimedia messaging app. And one of its principal features is that pictures and messages are usually only available for a short time before they become inaccessible to the recipients. And actually, that's how it became big. If you remember, there was a, you know, there was a lot of debate about privacy and about how Twitter, even if you remove your tweets, you can still track them down and they're still available on the net versus Snap. The moment you send something, it literally becomes inaccessible within seconds. And that's the beauty of it. And that's why it took up. As far as I should know, and I always, you know, I'm very transparent and I'm not married to any platform in particular. Being an agency, we always look for what's going to work best for our clients. Is I always ask them, are you targeting Gen Z and millennials? Because if it's yes, then Snapchat is a platform that you need to be on. And if not, then don't waste your dollars there. Because the majority of, I think 78% of young Americans between the age of 18 to 24 use Snapchat, and about 25 times a day in an average of 30 minutes a day. So they're there and they're spending a lot of time. And ever since COVID, you know, changed the world, we're seeing even more people being on Snap and spending a lot more time than before. So a lot of the numbers that I'm sharing are pre-COVID. So you can only imagine what the numbers and the impact of COVID is into the platform. the thing that also, like, I always tell the brands is, remember that the Gen Z and millennial spending power is $1 trillion. So at the end of the day, it's a big audience that's spending a lot of time in that platform every day, and that you're missing out to not talk to at all. So to answer your question, should every brand, or maybe should brands consider it? The answer is yes, if they're targeting Gen Z and millennials.
And remind us, what age group is that roughly?
So I would say, and again, like, the data shows that about 78% of young Americans are using Snapchat are between the age of 18 and 24.
So if that age group, you definitely want to be on there. And when you say be on there, what does that mean?
Absolutely.
I remember we did a show talking about TikTok, you know, how difficult it is to get onto TikTok. And we came to the conclusion, just do ads. That's like the bare minimum. Do you have to post your own TikToks? Not necessarily. Is that the same case with Snapchat? Or when we talk about be on there, what do we mean?
So the first step is actually creating a business account and having an online, like be present. Create content, organic content as well plays a big, big role. Like all the hashtags and the contests and all the fun stories that, you know, that, I mean, there's a lot you can be doing and be creative from a content production standpoint, from the organic side. Because a lot of people, like, similar to Instagram, you know, where you have the discover button where you can go and discover and see what's going on based on your interests mm-hmm. and things of that nature. So you can actually be creating content that's being shown there. So there is a lot of organic reach that you can reach using cool and fun content. A lot of brands, when they try and go to, like, even though they're targeting Gen Z and millennials, but let's say if you're not a fun brand, if you're going to go to Snapchat and be like, you know, very business, very button up, then don't be there, because the users are looking for fun content. So that's a way to be there. And then, of course, the second way is advertising. And Snapchat advertising have evolved within the years, and they have started introducing more and more ad formats. And I think there are some examples that I shared with you that I would love to walk the audience through, just to give you an idea of what those ads look like. And the good thing about Snap is that their CPM is between $3 and $8. So mm-hmm. we always see very low CPM when it comes to advertising within the platform. And the beauty of it is, again, they have 230 million users a day. So there are a lot, like, reach sky's the limit, pretty much. So you can definitely, with a conservative budget, still be able to target that audience that you're trying to go after while using different type of, you know, again, what the messaging is.
Yep. Very interesting. So the one time I did set up a Snapchat account for a brand, I remember they were trying to approve the design and then upload the design. But that didn't work, right? You have to take a picture of the logo. Is that still the case? Or how do you get your account set up as a brand?
So as far as account set up for brands, like, there is actually a link that I'll be more than happy to share with you afterwards mm-hmm. on steps, like the steps that you need to follow in order to create a brand. But, like, again, remember, it's all about images at the end of the day. That's what Snapchat is all about. It's about taking pictures and using pictures within the app, pretty much. So, like, it's all about, it hasn't changed much from the time probably that you did. It's again, it's all about using the pictures that you have and adding, playing with the filters and the AR lenses and, like, making it fun and cool using the technology that's available in all the filters that you have available within Snapchat.
Okay, very cool. Let's dive into the examples you sent me. I know you won't be able to see them on your screen, but the first one I'm going to share here is filter ads, commercials, and AR lenses.
Yes, so AR lenses are actually, that was a game changer, not only in advertising, but even in social media. So that's why, again, Snapchat was able to really grow rapidly, is the augmented reality features that came with it. So actually brands can advertise to create interactive moments using augmented reality experiences so that Snapchatters can play and send to their friends. That's an example, I think, of the HBO show, I think that's Game of Thrones. They advertised, you know, Snapchat using AR lenses and made it super interactive. So all of the Game of Thrones fans were sharing that and playing with friends. So that's actually a type of ad that does really well on Snapchat, and we see great return on investments for brands that are willing to spend that kind of, you know, creative and money in targeting their audiences. The second one is filter ads. Also something that Snapchat is really famous for is the filters. So that's an example from Coca-Cola. So filter ads are creative overlays that can be applied over snaps, which allows advertisers to take part in Snapchatters' conversations. And the third one is, think of it as commercials, like any other commercial, that are found within Snapchat curated content. And those are videos that are non-skippable for the first 6 seconds. So the beauty of this is that you know that when you run a commercial ad on Snapchat is that you are going to get 6 seconds. Attention span is definitely less than that. So at least you're getting 6 seconds of their time. That's non-skippable, and then you can have up to 3 minutes video ad, but that's up to you, of course, to keep them engaged. Like if you have good content, people are gonna stay, and if not, you get their attention for 6 seconds. So those are three type of ads that you can leverage to advertise on Snapchat.
And maybe if we can dive a little deeper, so the augmented reality, how does that look in practice? I mean, like, what are people looking at, I guess? Or what's the experience,
so,
you know?
So in terms of the experiences, so the lenses are, so I'm trying to think of a great example of what it would look like. Think, for example, let's say you are a brand, you are running an ad of a suit. Literally, what the AR lens is, you can use your picture and you'll see yourself wearing that suit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the interactiveness of the ad. So it really allows you to live in, like, let's say you're a furniture store and you take a picture of your house. You can literally interact and see how the couch will look like in your living room. That's how the AR lens work. So it's, think of it as a feature that when you're running the ads that will allow the users to literally experience something as if they were in a store or in an entertainment venue or whatever that experience is. So that's how the experience look like.
Very interesting. And what's the adoption? Are people using that or what are the best use cases that you've seen? I know you mentioned a couple.
So the best, yeah, so the best cases that I use AR lenses for creating, like, again, in-store experiences, shows, like, for example, Game of Thrones, games. A lot of game companies are using it to also allow people to interact with the game. So those are kind of the best use cases. As far as adoption rate, there are, and I think I've got some data on post-COVID. And I can share with you a number, if you just give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually among the most popular engagement that they're having right now. About 25% actually, yeah. So 25% of all Snapchat users have been playing with AR within Snapchat ever since COVID, because people were looking for fun way to communicate with friends and family and engage, you know, and again, play games and do things that maybe they didn't have time to sit and play with, but now because everybody's kind of in lockdown and home, they have, a lot of people actually have been enjoying it, and 25% during late March, so 25% more users have been using it in late March comparing to late February. And this is the latest data that we have. We don't have April numbers yet.
Got it. It's definitely a way to differentiate for a brand. Is it mostly, if you have something visual, like clothes or furniture, or what other kind of companies use it?
So those are honestly the the cases that I came across. Also, as I mentioned, games, gaming companies use it. Since sports, also like ESPN or some like again channels, news channels, and things that have been using it. So it really, I mean, sky is the limit there. I don't think we are really technology yet, but the ones that I've seen that really nailed the game are cosmetics companies, fashion companies, and.
Got it. Really anything visual. All right, let's flip over to the next one here, if that's okay. This is the example, single image or video, collection ads, and story ads. Can you walk us through those?
Sure, absolutely. So the first one is single image or video ads. So those are full screen ads that appear in between stories. Goal of these ads is to encourage Snapchatters to take action on your website. For example, contact your business, download, and engage with an app. The second one, the collection ads, are think of them as the carousel ads of Facebook. So pretty much it's kind of the same. They appear in stories and showcase a series of products in a way to give Snapchatters a tappable way to browse. And the last one are story ads, and those are 3 to 20 snaps that live alongside popular content tailored to Snapchatters' preferences in the discovery section. So when you go to this, let's think of the discovery section on Instagram. I don't know if you're an Instagram user. All that content that Instagram is showing you based on who you are and your preferences, it's similar. The only difference is that the story ads are literally things that you can't pay to be, you know, like literally so that you can be showcased and featured. And there are 3 to 20 snaps max that will leave along popular content tailored to Snapchatters' preferences. Those are, I think, the top three are very similar to TikTok ads. I know you mentioned you've had, especially the single image or video ads, similar to what you will also experience on Instagram and others. So really come with new products or just that kind of similar ad types that we've seen across other platforms that are now available on Snapchat.
So I zoomed in a little bit here on those images. How do users know that they're ads? Does it say advertisement anywhere, or
it does actually? Labeled? Yeah, it does. It actually does say ad. If you look next to the shop now on the far right, it does say ad. It's It's kind of embedded in the content. They did a great job. It's not like screaming, "Hey, this is an ad," but like you have to tell the customers that those are ads.
And then the call to action, is it typically to get people to go to a website, or how do you know that an ad worked?
Yeah, so like for Facebook, you got to implement pixels for all of the ad campaigns that you're doing. And then you're able to track, for example, let's say, and I think the other example that I sent you, Christopher, is from Bumble, the dating app. So how do you know if it's working? You look at how many downloads or how many installs did you get from that campaign. If it's a shop now button, you need to track and see if you've had any conversions. It's like similar to every other digital channel that you use. As long as you implement the pixels, you will be able to allocate, attribute the sell to Snapchat, either through first click or last click.
Got it. So I did pop up the Bumble ad. Do you want to talk about that any further?
Sure. And absolutely. And the reason why I wanted to share that with you is, again, I'm talking a lot about pre-COVID here, but ever since COVID, we have all been impacted in a way or another. In fact, even Snapchat revenue in ads, I think, is down 25%.
Okay.
Users are feeling it. We're all like, in a way, it's kind of weird times, because we know this is, in our lifetime, this is the time where people are the most connected, I think, in history. Because people are home, everybody's working remote, everybody's using technology, everybody's on their phone. But yet, a lot of advertisers are not spending, the way they were doing, for a lot of different reasons. So one thing that I've seen a lot of great success with is brands that are not acting like nothing is happening, but brands that know that people are in lockdown, that know that people are home, that know that people have lost their jobs, but yet are using like amazing content to target people to use their apps. And that's what Bumble did in this case. It's fun, it's engaging, but at the same time, there is a goal, right? And the goal is, hey, install Bumble if you're single and you're looking to stay busy. So that's why I wanted to share that ad example with you and also give you an example of what a single image or video ad could look like.
Got it. Very interesting. What's the process to get an ad on Snapchat? I mean, is it the typical come up with a strategy, the creative, upload it, or how do you work on that?
Yeah, so like any other channel, as you can imagine, it's one is defining your audience, understanding what's your target. You know, a lot of brands, I feel like to them, they come to Snapchat mainly for brand awareness, while definitely the brands that went there to drive e-commerce sales or you know, like the different, I mean, whatever, like, again, type ads that they have available have seen quite good return on ad spend because the CPM historically has always been among the lowest among the other social media sites. But as far as that it works, the way it works is you need to create your business page, and create an ad. Snapchat has a platform where you can buy directly from them. You don't have to use, you know, programmatic providers whatsoever to buy from them. You can go that route, but you can also just create an ad just by going to the website forbusiness.snapchat.com, and you can literally go there and create an ad.
So pretty
and
easy.
It's very process. Easy, like, you know, very, very easy process. And of course, doing it yourself versus using people that know will make a difference, like PPC or anything else that we run in our industry, as they have a lot of different targeting capabilities. For example, you can even leverage third-party data from Oracle and Nielsen. So they have a lot of targeting capabilities similar to the other platforms. So you definitely need to, in order to better, you know, to drive better ROI, you definitely need to leverage people that have done it in the past so that they can even tap in into third-party data and use all the targeting capabilities that it offers.
So you mentioned the pixel. Does that mean I can retarget people on Snapchat that were on my website, same system as any other network, or how does that work?
So as far as retargeting for snaps, the way it works is similar to the other platforms. So within the way it works is literally similar to Facebook. You implement you can implement, you know, the pixel. Then you can retain the cookie up to 30 days by default. I mean, that's the default, but you can change the time frame. You can decide whether or not to target that person up to 13 months as well, which is kind of, you know, similar to what the other guys are doing. You can retarget using lookalike audiences, third-party custom audiences, people that visited your website. So literally similar to the other guys.
Got it. So one thing I'm a huge fan of is the create once, publish everywhere model. And of course, we're doing that today. We're live streaming on LinkedIn. We will upload the episode to YouTube. I'll grab the audio. I'll put the audio on the podcast channels. That'll go to 8 or 9 channels, whatever it is. Then I'll probably write an article that goes to the newsletter. And so I'm repurposing, right? Your content, I mean, is so great. We're throwing it a parade. How about Snapchat? How do we tie Snapchat into that? I mean, do you use similar creatives on other channels, or is it like just a standalone, everything has to be different?
So if you are on Snapchat and TikTok, I think you can, I'm not going to say approach it the same way because TikTok is also a lot about music and dancing. And, I mean, again, it's different audiences. And in a way, people go to the different platforms for different reasons. But I would say that, like, you need to have strategy specifically for Snapchat. You need to create content that's created only for Snapchat. Remember, the goal of Snapchat is to be fun and to be real and authentic. So that's what people are looking for. That's the kind of content people are willing to consume when they're on Snapchat. So if you are going to be using, I don't know, content that, let's say, you use on your LinkedIn profile that's a little bit more professional, then definitely don't go and post the same things on Snapchat. It won't work.
Got it. Makes sense. Wish it was easier, but it makes sense because LinkedIn and Snapchat certainly are different channels. What other tips do we have that we can share that we haven't talked about? Anything we missed?
Yeah, so no. So again, I think this is an amazing time for brands to test out new channels because, you know, a lot of advertisers have pulled out from advertising. So even if it's smaller budget, if your target audience, even if you're a smaller brand and you want to test new platform, awareness, conversions, whatever your goal is, I highly recommend brands to go into, especially the ones that are targeting Gen Z as well as millennials. This is a great time to be on platforms like Snapchat, test out the market. We know people are home. You know, as you can imagine, all schools and universities were done remote for the last 2 months. Like all, I mean, we know that a lot of that audience is home and a lot of them are on their phone 24/7. So it's a great time to test Snapchat if you haven't thought about it as a channel, and see what kind of return you can drive from it, knowing that even before the craziness, CPMs are always among the lowest. Now they're even lower because, again, most advertisers have been pulling out from there.
Everybody's trying to save money, but would you agree that we don't want to stop marketing, right? I mean, especially in slower times, it might hurt us long term if we're not advertising today.
I 100% agree. And I think, you know, Christopher, I had a very interesting call with a client of us. They're in the SaaS business. And, you know, they were like, well, we need to cut down spend. And I'm like, well, your life cycle of, you know, your sales cycle is 6 to 8 months. So you might be saving dollars today, but in 6 to 8 months, you're going to look at your numbers and be like, I don't understand why my sales are down. Well, you know, in a time where you actually should have maybe been more aggressive, you weren't. Because a lot of people, yes, understand that unemployment is high. I understand that there is a lot of things that are happening, you know, we're not going to be ignoring the numbers, but at the same time, we know that from a digital perspective, there are people that have shopped for the first time online because they had to. People that have had to create an Amazon account for the first time because they had to. People that used Instacart because they had to. So there's this whole new demographic that historically was more brick and mortar, let me go to a store to get my things done. They're actually an experience. They're like, you're telling me I can buy something, I'll have my doorsteps within 2 hours. This is great. And if I don't like it, I can return it. So this is not a time to cut down spend. This is actually a time to shift maybe your dollars. It's a time to test out new strategies. It's a time to try out new channels like Snapchat, like that's the one that I'm here to talk about today. So they're definitely ways to better move your budgets around, but cutting down spend completely, I think, is a very big mistake that a lot of brands are making. And if anything, you need to continue the conversation and talk to your customers and tell them, hey, we're all in this together. If anything, that's kind of the kind of messaging you need to be driving right now.
And realistically, what's a good budget for a Snapchat campaign? I mean, how big does it have to be for your average brand?
So it really depends on, like, are you a big brand or a small brand? I would honestly say anywhere from $2,000 to $1 million. It really depends, again, on who you are and what kind of budgets you have laying around. If you are a $2,000, you know, spender that's targeting one city or one zip code or one area and just during one time, you will be you're going to see some traction because, again, the CPM is very low. I think it's between $3 and $8 right now, depending on the niche and the industry and all that. So, and then, of course, if you are in the millions, then you're going to see, you know, a huge impact.
Well, I might have to try it. I mean, I can tell you I probably won't do the $1 million campaign tomorrow, maybe next week. Where?
I definitely don't recommend you starting with that, Christopher.
You got it. Where can people find you on the web? What's the website, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever you want to share?
Yeah, sure. So my LinkedIn is my full name, Amin Benchahar. Twitter, Instagram is abenchahar1. And my company website, where I blog frequently, is advanixdigital.com.
And that's based in Dallas, correct?
Yeah, we're in Dallas.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining me today. Thanks for sharing your knowledge. I do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate you putting this podcast together and also sharing the knowledge and the love with the rest of the marketers in the world. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Just a couple of housekeeping items here. So, as you saw, we live streamed today on LinkedIn, and it's going to go on YouTube and then the podcast channel. So, we'll keep doing that if people like it. We use Switcher Studios. Check it out, Trap 10, 10% off. It is takes some getting used to be doing live streaming with video and doing all the graphics and everything. But if people like it, I'm happy to do it again. Thanks everyone for listening and watching. Until next time.